Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend.
Welcome to Short Story Wednesday on Angels Among Us. Each week, we bring you a short but powerful story to lift your spirits and remind you that God is in even the smallest details of your life. If you have a story you'd like to share, we'd be honored to hear it.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Short Story Wednesday. Just me today, but it won't be just me for long. Today's Short Story Wednesday is going to be a compilation of multiple episodes. I've had this thought and this idea for a little while of wanting to put together a clip or a compilation of the truths. This may not be the case for you all, but my favorite part of the episodes is listening to people testify of something that they know to be true. So I thought it would be fun to pull from multiple episodes and to hear people's truths all in one setting. Pay attention to what you're being taught. Pay attention to how these truths make you feel, and pay attention to the spirit that is testifying to you that what is being told is true. I'm excited. It was fun to work on this, and I'm excited for all of you to hear it. So, here you go.
My truth is, for anyone that wants to feel that connection that I've been talking about, you can. I wasn't born with some special gift, or, you know, I think that I'm the perfect example of someone that felt zero connection. You know, I didn't feel the whispers here. I didn't hear anything when I was a kid. I didn't, you know, because a lot of people that talk about being connected across the veil, they're like, oh, I felt like this since I was a child. My grandfather passed away and then I felt him visit me in a dream or whatever. I didn't feel that at all. And so I believe that every single person that's here is still connected while we're here in our bodies. I believe my truth is that some of our soul is in our body, but I believe that another part, that a higher part of our soul is always connected with God, with your loved ones across the veil, with the angels. And you can tap into that whenever you want to. And then you're just there. It's like, that's where the drop-ins for me happen. That's where the downloads happen. That's where that knowing, that more truths come in, is when I shift my focus to the part that's just outside my body. And that to me is going across the veil, and anyone can do it if they want to.
So it's interesting, as we've talked a little bit about angels and heavenly beings and Jesus Christ himself, is that you're not worthy of those. You're just not worthy of them. We're human beings, and we're frail, and we're weak, and we make wrong choices, and we make mistakes, and we call what we do, we sin. So we're not worthy, but we're children of our Father in heaven. We're a son. Jesus Christ atoned, our brother atoned, went below us all, felt all of our pain for us. I truly believe that, in that angels come to us because we're in need, and they will come. Now, oftentimes it's like, I need him today, but maybe a week before he comes, maybe 2 weeks before someone is sent to help knock on your door. I can recall many instances of many people that say, I needed something, and lo and behold, 4 days later, someone knocked on my door and says, hey, here's a loaf of bread. I just moved in down the street, and all of a sudden, they're an answer to prayer. It's not a worthy thing. So again, angels are certainly among us. I know for a fact that I have a Father in heaven. I know for a fact that I have a Savior named Jesus Christ that loves me and atoned for me and felt all the pain and all the sin and all the things in my life that I go through. And yours and every other person that's ever been alive or will be alive. They know you, and they have great worth and value in their mind for you, and they love you. And you be patient, but you talk to them and you act upon your impressions. And I think another thing is humility. We fight that. I fight that. But being humble and being acceptable to angels about us, you got to receive them. You know, they're a gift. You think about Christmas, I give you a gift, you reach out and you take it and you open it and you're glad. But I give you a gift and you don't take it and don't open it, then it's worthless. So take the gifts that are given and use those in your life. And I bear that testimony to you in all humbleness and humility.
What I know to be true is you aren't alone. As alone as I felt, it was me putting that on myself. No one knows this kind of pain. No one understands this. There, nothing like this has ever happened to anybody but me. And it's not true. And you'll find the more you do share, you'll find that there are people out there that have gone through this and you truly aren't alone. There are angels, both physical on earth and spiritual angels, that are with you. I, in the beginning, was too angry to see it.
God is always speaking. He's always telling us to do things. But are we going to do what he's asking us to do? But I do believe, and this is so true, if we just step out on a little bit of faith and have a divine appointment like he's trying to set up every single day, our faith is going to be so great and so powerful, and your life's going to be forever changed. So the question to you is, the next time God says, do something, are you going to do it?
I know that we have a Heavenly Father who is very aware of us and has our lives, if we allow him to, he will orchestrate our lives so beautifully that things will work together for our good, even in times that we think are really hard and really maybe bad, that he has a plan for us to make all things work and all things beautiful and all things good. And if we just turn to him and let him and start saying yes to him, like, we're only going to be able to see the amazing, like, beautiful life that he has planned for us. It's even so much better than we could ever imagine. Like, there's like this really cool picture of this little girl with a smaller teddy bear, and then Jesus or God, like, holding an even bigger teddy bear in his back. And I love that picture so much, because there's so many times in my life where I'm like, I have not been willing to give him this small teddy bear in return, because I'm holding on to whatever I think is right for me. And if I would just let go, and the times in my life that I have let go, he has only given me twice as much or better than I could have ever imagined. And it's because he loves us so much, and he makes amazing things out of really hard things.
I think one thing I've learned to be true is that God is not the author of our pain. And I think over the years, I've learned that a lot of times when someone is going through something really hard, I think the human response is to say, like, oh, don't worry, that was a part of God's plan. But then you're essentially saying that he's actually not the God that came to give us life and life more abundantly, because we know it's the thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so when I was able to make that difference in the character of God, of when I go through something hard, it's because I live in a broken world. It's because there's sin. And my sin doesn't just affect me, it affects those in my life. And in the same way to everyone else in this world, it doesn't just affect them. It affects everyone else in their life. And as I've grown, I've realized God is not the author of pain. He is the one who came to give life and life more abundantly. And when I experience the enemy in my life, then I know, like, okay, this is the enemy. This is not God. So God, how are you going to turn it around? And what do you want me to learn from this? And yeah, I know that God is for me. He's not against me. He's not punishing me. And I think that was a lot of just mentality that I had to undo, that God is punishing me, that I somehow deserve to go through this. And that's false. That is not how God sees us as his kids. So that is something that I know to be true.
The truth is, we walk by faith, not by sight. We have a circle of light around us that may not go beyond one step at a time, but it is stepping into the dark where the light expands. And that by taking another step, it expands further. And as you walk by faith, knowing that there is a higher power in charge, there is great strength, and there is your life becomes directed by one that loves you the most and knows you better than you know yourself. And these challenges and these trials are for our good. And we will look back and be grateful for the challenges, be grateful for the suffering, being grateful for these trials. We may not know it now, but as we walk by faith, we will know the truth that these things have brought into our lives and the blessings that they will provide. That is true.
One truth that always carries me is that we're always enough for our Heavenly Father. And there will be people in our lives who don't see our value or don't appreciate or don't protect or don't, I guess, see us, but God always does. Like he loves us enough to be like, this world needs one more person, and he created you to fulfill a mission and a purpose and all of these things that he sent you here. And part of that is to go through the hard stuff and to keep remembering him just like he remembered you.
When you genuinely love, love will love you back and you will live life to the fullest. And man, and when you love and you find the right partner, and you find the, and I'm just overwhelmed with love. My wife, Nettie, has been the rock. He's praised God for every day that, for her life, for what she does to this family. But I just could not tell you that enough, that when you love hard, love will love you just as hard right back. And it's just a beautiful thing.
If you think God's grace will run out, you don't understand God's grace and love. Like it's bottomless. There's so much love and so much grace. I'm sorry for those who are put in a position to be hurt by addiction. I just want you to know that your love, there is help out there for family members of addicts. And if you are an addict yourself, I just urge you, turn to somebody and share it just by opening your mouth and explaining it. And if you get shame and guilt from that person's not for you. Go to the next person. Don't let it stop you. Go to the next person. And if you have to go through 100 people to get to that one person that will understand you and accept you for who you are and then help you get your way out of that, keep going. I just want you to keep going and know that there is a God that is pursuing you and loves you, and his grace and his forgiveness is unlimited. You just need to turn. I mean, the Hebrew definition of repentance is turn. So I'm asking all of you who are in the midst of a depression where you want to end it, or an addiction where you don't think that you can get away, turn. Turn your eyes to Christ and watch how he can change your entire world.
One thing I know to be true is that we are surrounded by light and love and goodness that wants for our very best, and that we are more loved than we even realize, even and especially in our darkest times. I used to work with a coach named Leo Widener, who was a coach before coaching was cool. And he said this thing that has stayed with me forever. He says, inside of our darkness lies the seeds of our greatest glory. And I believe that to be true. So even in the darkest of dark, there is a light. There is so much there to that loves us and will love us to that better place.
For me, it was after SJ died. The phrase would be to run to the Father. And I say that from the experience. We gave birth to SJ in Seattle. We had to move over there for 5 months to, you know, he saw specialists and stuff. And so we were staying at my parents' house. And after he had passed, I was in bed. I didn't get out of bed much. And I remember laying there in the dark and just the words "run to the Father" just came over me. And I was one of like not opening the Bible. I'm not praying. I'm very like anti-God. Like this is, I'm so mad at him. Like we were in very different spots spiritually after SJ died too. And I remember laying in bed and just hearing "run to the Father." And I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, that's not what I'm going to do. But it turned out, prompted by God, I looked up the words "just run to the Father" on my phone. And a song popped up, which singing has always been a way that I relate to my faith is through song. And so I was like, okay, I don't have to talk to God. I'll just listen to this song. You know, it was like such a excuse in a way. And I played this song. It's from Cody Carnes. Samson actually sang it at SJ's funeral. And it's called "Run to the Father." And that song, whoever's listening, you need to look up the lyrics, because that song is the definition of the benefit and the beauty of running to the Father in any situation, not just hard stuff, you know, but in my instance, it was grief. But it just says like, my heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. And so I run to the Father again and again and again. And I remember he left me alone a lot because I asked him to, not because he wanted to, but, and so I was in bed many days in a row, and that song, I probably listened to it 1,000 times. It was like the only thing getting me through the day, the night, you know, all the minutes of the day that felt like forever. And so I think in this whole grand scheme of things, my testimony would literally be those four words, because that was a song I played when Jameson was in the NICU. Like that has carried through this whole story for me. I think that would be, you know, that moment, that testimony that I know is true, is you can run to the Father and he will handle all the things you say to him. I said some very terrible things, but he's there, you know, and I can, yep. I can go to him while saying that stuff. And he's still like, "Hey, I love you. Like I'm here. Like, let me have it. Let me have it." So that would be mine.
Yeah. I would say awesome. The one thing I know to be true is that God will never fail. You know, and I think music is just the easiest way for us to kind of just express our worship and to feel, to help explain to people what we're feeling. And a song came to me after our first miscarriage, as she mentioned earlier in the episode. In the middle of the night, I couldn't sleep. A song came over me. I went to the piano and just put the words onto the piano. And I actually was able to, that song kind of was carried with me a little bit, but didn't really come to fruition until SJ. For me, where I just, all right, that was my test. Like I wrote these lyrics of like, you know, I'm holding on to you. I know that you'll never fail. I'm trusting you. Like, do I believe that right now? And, that just became a really prominent message for me that I just will never believe that anything was done by accident, that God will not fail. Might not understand. But even if we don't, like it's, God has so much purpose behind what he's doing in every single situation.
In Sunday school on Sunday, someone shared a quote by one of our church leaders, something to the effect of, if you choose to follow God, like you'll never be wrong. And I thought about that like all day on Sunday, like going back through my life, because there's been times where I feel like we've been led down roads and paths that God wanted us on, and it was not going smoothly. Like, why the crap did you lead us here? Why prayer answered this way? Why did you send this trial? And without fail, those have always turned out. We've received blessings greater than we could have ever imagined. That being said, that doesn't mean there's still not hard things that we're facing or doubts or struggles that we're having. So I would say the one thing that I know is if you're in the thick of those times, which I assume pretty much everyone on earth is in the middle of at least one of those things where you've yet to see the end of the light at the end of the tunnel, right? You don't know how this is going to end for you. Choosing to be on God's side will only end in a win for you. And I think I've just seen that too many times in our life to doubt it. I mean, I still do because I am human and I'm not perfect. But it has brought me great comfort, especially in trials where, like, we have trials that are not, Porter's not going to magically grow back an arm. Our son's brain probably, it could magically be healed one day, but probably not. So we will, there's lifelong struggles that are ahead of us. But if we continue to follow what God wants us to do and, listen to the promptings he gives us, it's only going to end in a win for us. So I think that's what I would say. I know. Your turn.
Yeah. I think, it's such a like interesting question, you know, because I know there's a lot of things I know. Like I know Christ like understands me. I don't know really how to explain it to people, but I know that he understands what my struggles or my challenges that I'm facing, because I've felt that. It was interesting for me because you hear that a lot in church, you know, like no matter what I think religion you are, if you're Christian, you're like, hey, Christ knows your struggles. And for me, I always like look at pictures of Christ and he always had two arms. I'm like, I don't know. but for me, because so that was like some of the questions that I had when I would study the scriptures and when I would pray. And like, I really did grow to understand that he like understood, you know, he understood what I was facing or the struggles that I was dealing with. And then the other thing that I think I'd like to share that I know, I know that life is meant to be lived. You know, and like, it really is like a glorious thing to be able to just live a life, and to have an opportunity to live it. You know, I think our youth today, and I think just in general, people struggle with a lot of things in life, and I think the value of life is belittled by things around them. But I think that living a life is unimaginably enjoyable, you know, like to me. And for me, it's got its ups and downs. Like it's not fun. But when you have suffered through something like the lowest of the lows, the highs are so incredible because you understand it. So, and a lot of time, I mean, I grew up in the mountains in central Utah. And I think what a lot of people don't understand about mountains is they're only as high as like the valleys allow them to be. So for me, no, life is meant to be lived. And I know that. I know that you should just chase it. You know, you should just attack life.
We're here on this earth to do the hard. That's how we grow. If you're married, it's hard. If you're not married, it's hard. If you're an athlete, it's hard. If you're not an athlete, it's hard. If you have a job, it's hard. If you don't have a job, it's hard. We're here to do the hard and grow and get better. And hopefully along the way, lift somebody else up.
I think to along those lines, I just had the thought that I think it says a lot about what our Heavenly Father feels about us through our trials. Because he knows what he's made us to overcome. He knows if we trust him, where we can go and how, you know, what the progress we need. He knows how to strengthen our weaknesses and make us far greater than we could ever imagine for ourselves if we trust him. So I guess embrace those trials. That's hard to say, but be grateful. Get, you know, find the good in them. There are those hard days. I mean, we fly through the story with all the miracles. There were really dark times too, and you know, sleepless nights and the tears and the fears. But in the end, I wouldn't trade one moment of it. And I know I'm a better person because of it. I'm trying to be a better person. I'm trying to make more of the second chance at life that we've been given and know that every day is a gift.
A lot of times we feel like we're in our own head as we're imagining. We imagine this. It didn't happen. It's not real. And I can honestly tell you, you know, people would say, well, hey, you heard that voice. You know, Heavenly Father knows you. Isn't that awesome? It is awesome. But you know what? Honestly, it scared me because I'm like, holy cow. He really does know me. And what have I not done? And so my truth is listening to that voice. And if I have, and it's not even, doesn't even have to be a voice. It can be a thought. It can be an impression. It can be just driving by and seeing someone and realizing I need to act on that thought or action or impression. Because you got to, for someone that's doing that hard that day, that's living that hard life, you can be their little angel in that moment. If it's only even just a hug or a little smile of sunshine, you know, a chocolate candy bar, something, be that for them. That's what I know is true.
When I think about that day that started out as a normal, right, just a normal morning, another day on shift, and I, as I looked though, and again, I really like to focus on the tender mercies, but the amount of people that were there for Robin Kelly that day, and that the Lord trusted me to be one of those people, and the fact that they're here today, we're doing this podcast, they had a greater good, and that's why they are here. And again, for me, just humble enough to accept the fact that my Father in Heaven trusted me to be on the A-game that day, that not just me, but there are so many team members that were part of our Heavenly Father's team that day, from the crew members I was with, right, starting with Deb, her crew members that helped her, scraping the ice off the window saved minutes. And the folks that work with me every day, the physicians, the pilots, I mean, Rob and Kelly are here for a reason. And what an amazing thing that is.
I would say that spending time to remember what you do know and clinging on to that has been one of the greatest things, because doubt and difficulty surround you. And it's easy for us to start focusing on what we don't know. But what I have found for me is when I spend the time to focus on what I do know, and it can be simple, and often it is, because again, I'm an Idaho farm boy, that has made all the difference. The doubts and the despair and the loneliness seem to fade slightly. I'm not saying that it isn't there, because that's a real thing. But it changes because my perspective changes, where I am able to talk about and focus on what I do know. Mm-hmm. And that has made a world of difference for me.
That was the price of admission right there. I think I need to write that down.
We have it recorded.
Yeah, I know. I'll forget. I won't forget, because that was really powerful.
Well, so, Evan, on that note of what you do know, I'd love for you to leave everybody with something that you know to be true.
I know that Jesus is the Christ. I am so thankful that that is a knowledge that I've had and that I have. And I recognize that some people who are listening believe, and that is great. I know, and you can rely on that. You can take it to wherever the bank. You can write it down. In fact, I ask you to, because I want to be held accountable on this side of the veil and the other side of the veil for that. It is a sure knowledge that Jesus is the Christ. He has a plan. And I am so thankful for that, because going back to that earlier point, Brent, focusing on what I do know has made all the difference, and I'm grateful for him. And I am thankful for all that he has done and all the tender, undeserved mercies and blessings in my life. Because heaven knows there's a lot of things that I need to improve on. But I am so thankful for him. And I know that he is, and that he lives, and that he is resurrected. And he's still at the helm, and he has a plan for all of us.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.